the crucified life. Let's listen to Brother E.C. Moore.
This morning I want you to read with me in Galatians chapter 5, and what I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. All right, will you read with me from Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, there's a lot of controversy about walking in the Spirit and what it means. But I'll tell you this. I don't exactly know necessarily what it means, but I know this. You cannot walk in the Spirit without walking according to the words of the Spirit written down in Romans through Philemon. And if I need to say that again, you cannot walk in the Spirit without rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot walk in the Spirit while believing that salvation is by the gospel of the kingdom of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and on and on and on. So walking in the Spirit then would be walking in the truths that are written through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through Paul. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the flesh of man rebels at the truths that are written through the Spirit, by the Spirit, in Romans through Philemon. They rebel against that. The flesh, our human flesh, lusteth against the truth in the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he refers to the works of the flesh. Now I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want to talk about this verse. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, that is, in the flesh geographically. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, there are six things that I want to refer to, and it won't take me long. Six things about Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I think that if every one of us in this room will claim these things and pattern our lives and live accordingly, it'll make all the difference with our life. Number one. This life that we now live today, number one, it is a crucified life, according to the Scripture. I am crucified with Christ. And to get the picture, when Jesus Christ died, there were two people that died with him. Bullinger says more. I don't know. I don't care particularly. I'm interested in two. One on his right hand, one on his left. But I see one more there. I see E.C. Moore. I see you. I see we that know Christ as our Savior at Calvary. I am crucified with Christ. That's not I am crucified in Christ. Not I was crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, the day that Jesus Christ died, I died is the past. That's what he's saying. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, we'll start reading in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, and that's according and are by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13. As many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's in A.D. 33. That's at Calvary. You know something? Let me tell you something. No matter how strong your faith, no matter how much you pray, on and on, you cannot bring about something that didn't happen by prayer. You don't have to pray about this. Jesus Christ at Calvary died for your sin. You don't have to pray about that. That's a fact. And all of the faith that can move mountains and so forth won't change that fact. Faith is in fact. If your faith is not in fact, it is worthless. I am crucified with Christ. As many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Spirit baptizes into Christ. Were baptized into His death. So His death then becomes our death. We're identified with Him in death. Verse 4, therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. All right then, I am crucified with Christ. That is, I am dead. Notice in verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's the point. The wages of sin is death. Your life was set out here. If I look at this, and we've done this before here, so bear with me now. Let's just say that this represents God up here. And I put a thing out here like this. God Almighty is always as He always was and always will be. Therefore, everything is present tense with Him. So when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, your life here was, as it were, present tense for Him, because He saw the day you'd be born, the day you'd leave, everything in between. Therefore, when Jesus Christ died, if you would believe, trust Him as your Savior at some point, then you died in Him, in that His death was put to your account. His death was in your behalf. All right, verse 11. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Turn, please, to chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, here's the point. If you died, then you were born into this world crucified. If you died at Calvary, I am crucified with Christ. If you died at Calvary, you were born physically crucified. And there's no way to get around it. You either believe it or you don't. I am crucified. If that's a fact, I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Then when you were physically born, you were born crucified. I am crucified with Christ. So therefore, this life is a crucified life. Number two, it is a resurrected life. Galatians 2:20 says, nevertheless I live. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, please read verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, and on and on and on. Well then, it's not only a crucified life, it's a resurrected life. Now listen, how you feel has nothing to do with the situation. I was thinking about the other day, the last few weeks. And this is nothing to, no complaint or whatever. But the last few weeks, I believe that I've been down the worst that I've been since the rescue mission was closed down years ago. It's been a downer for me. And things just seem like they just were all wrong. Things just were out of shape and on. And there's nothing that I can tell you or explain to you. It's just, and so in praying about this, always in my mind, the issue was not the way I feel. The issue was, what do I believe? The pressure was the worst that it's been in a long, long time. Pressure that you can't see, you can't touch it, but it's there. You feel it. And then people get involved. People just get involved. But you know what? That doesn't matter. What goes on around is not the issue. The issue is what is written in the book. Well, in the book, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I know something, folks. I know when Jesus Christ died in A.D. 33, all of E.C. Moore's sins were set in the future out there from that point. And God saw them all at one time. And when Jesus Christ died, the wages of sin being death, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin, and I am crucified. And a dead man has no sins, folks. The wages of sin is death. You can argue with me about forgiveness until hell freezes over. That won't change the fact that if the wages of sin is death and Jesus Christ died the death for your sin, God can't see them anymore. Why? He died to pay the penalty for your sin. Say, well, how about forgiveness? I mean, you know, people do that. I'll be honest with you, I just want to hit somebody in the mouth. But I'm scared to. I mean, you know, come on. If the wages of sin is death and Jesus Christ paid for your sins by His death, what are you worried about forgiveness for? Where are your sins? Well, they've been died for. They're gone. People say, well, okay then, that means you can live like you'd want. Oh, me. They're going to anyway. No matter what. You know the guy that says that? You know what he believes? He confesses and repents of his sins daily. Recommits them the next day, repents and confesses them again. Does it again, and on and on and on. It's a resurrected life, folks. Nevertheless, I live. I now have the power to use my members as I choose. You know that? I've already been put to death. I've already been buried. I've already been quickened. I'm risen. I now have the power to choose to use my members for the Lord or use them to fulfill the lust of my flesh. And so do you that are saved. And I dare you to think about it. I mean, sure enough, I mean absolutely positively, right now, to think about. You've been bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. You're a part of His body. And therefore, how will you use that which belongs to the Lord? And you men in here that are married, would you have the same attitude that you have about what I just said? Would you have that same attitude toward your wife if she took that attitude you have about using your members to fulfill the lust of your flesh? Suppose she said, okay, my husband and I are one, and therefore I will mess around with this guy over here, and I'll, and on and on and on. Now, you wouldn't like that, and you know it. No. It's a resurrected life. Turn in your Bible, please, to Romans 6 again. Romans 6, verse 12. Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign. That is, be the king. Reign in your mortal body. In other words, don't let sin take control and run your life. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That tells me that I can. That tells me that I have the power right now. I'm bought with a price, and nevertheless, I've got the power to yield myself unto sin if I desire to do so. But yield yourselves unto God. I can do that. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Come down to verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, if I yield myself unto E.C. Moore and the carnal man that I am and the hateful, despicable individual that I am, fleshly speaking, then I have become a servant unto myself, even though I've been crucified and risen again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's a resurrected life. Turn in your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Here's the answer. In Romans 13, notice in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In other words, our physical salvation, the day when our vile bodies will be changed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the reason I tell people to have a problem smoking cigarettes. Answer to it, don't buy them. Make not provision. In other words, if there's something that you dislike yourself about, and if you're worth the salt in your bread, there most likely is. If there's something about your life you don't like, then quit making provision for it. That's the answer. Make not provision for the flesh. All right, it's a crucified life, it's a resurrected life, and it's an exchange life. Paul said, not I, but Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. It is not I that live, but Christ. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, verse 1, if it then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall appear with him in glory. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. It is an exchange life. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind, and that's a reference to attitude, let this attitude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, that reputation thing is probably one of the things that overthrows us more than anything in the world. Our pride. Always our pride. It just stands there and haunts us and gets in the way. And we think about later on, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I could kick myself for having done that, and on and on. Answer, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. He made himself of no reputation. Whatever they piled on him, he took it. Say, well, hey, I don't know how that's supposed to be me. How about Romans chapter 12? According to Romans chapter 12, if you don't repay people with bad, and pray for them in so doing it, then you're heaping coals of fire on the head. But if you're praying for them in order to heap coals of fire, then it ain't going to work. And sometimes that's the way it works with us. We want the individual to get it from God, you know. Well, that's the wrong attitude. It's an exchange life, not I but Christ. Notice in verse 8, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, there's a secret, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In other words, humble yourself, accept the cross, accept the fact that you're crucified, and quit trying to prove yourself. We have a habit of trying to prove that we're right. We're always right, and everybody else is wrong, and on and on and on. Well, it isn't going to matter. All right, it's a crucified life, it's a resurrected life, and it's an exchange life. Number four, it's a mystical life. Christ liveth in me. I can't feel him. He doesn't speak to me orally. I don't hear his voice. Christ, so it's a mystical life. Notice in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 27, cutting in the middle of everything. Reference to his saints, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, you Gentiles. It's a mystical life. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When things go bad, I think about these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and they do go bad. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll have to read from verse, let's start in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that matches Romans 8:28, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. In other words, we don't get upset and twisted and warped all out of shape just because that people don't flock in to hear what we've got to say, you know, because somebody contradicts us or disagrees with us or whatever. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's a mystical life, folks. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice verse 16. Paul is praying that some things would become clear to us, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and on and on and on. Christ dwelling in you. The word dwell there carries the idea of like a habitation. It's like to take up habitation inside of you. That's difficult. The reason that's so difficult to believe is because our lives are so carnal. And we're just so carnal in our attitude about everything. imagine Christ in me. Think about something, folks. Jesus Christ went in the temple in Jerusalem two times and overthrew the money changers' tables and ran them out of there and said, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." You are bought with a price. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? And so the last time when he came into Jerusalem, went back in there, and that time he walked out of there and said, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And it wasn't long after he did that till that place was destroyed. What is the house that he's in now, pertaining to your body, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, by your faith, and by his faith? All right, it's a crucified life. It's a resurrected life. It's an exchange life. It's a mystical life. And then number five, it is a double life. Paul said, "The life I now live in the flesh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh." It's a double life. Notice in Galatians chapter 5 again where we began. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." In other words, it's a double life. I am born into a body physically back there years ago that was temporal. Now I've been created, called something called an inner man, Christ in you, the new man in you, and on and on and on. Paul said, "Put off the old man, put on the new." All right. The flesh then, temporal, lusteth against the Spirit, new man. Created man, Christ in you, inner man. The flesh, then, that you are by birth, fights tug of war with the new person that you are by faith in Christ. So that you cannot do the things that you would. There's always a battle going on. What's the answer? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's all you can do. So what doesn't solve the problem? Well, it'll solve the problem with God. That's the point. The point is satisfying God with your life. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. God is satisfied when you, in honesty and sincerity, present yourself holy and acceptable unto Him. It's your reasonable sacrifice. He's not talking about walking the higher plane. He's talking about, in all honesty and sincerity, presenting that which he purchased unto him. Just like every man would have every wife present herself unto him, and every woman would have her husband presented unto her, and on and on and on. The issue is not, if she presents herself unto me, is she going to be able to do all the things that I might demand of her? The issue is that she wanted to. She desired that. She would if she could. The issue is not, can you live a perfect life in the flesh? The issue is, are you willing to present your flesh unto the Lord and make an effort at it? Most times, the answer to that is no. I've heard people say, "Well, you can't live without sinning anyway." Boy, that makes me cringe when I hear people say that. That's crazy to say a thing like that. All right, it's a crucified life. It's a resurrected life. It's an exchange life. It is a mystical life. It's a double life. And then the last thing, it's a life of faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll know the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, notice in verse, we'll start in verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. Now, my point is this. I live by the faith of the Son of God, Paul said. You know something? I must accept. Now, come on. Is there any way I can get around this? If I accept that I'm crucified and resurrected, then I have to accept that the life I'm now living in this physical human flesh, I am living by His faith. I can't get around that. The point is, the wages of sin is death. Well, when did I commit the first sin? If I would have been under the law, my dad would have brought a sacrifice for me, lay his hands on the head of that sacrifice, and offered that sacrifice as a substitute for my sin that I committed back there. But I didn't live back there. I was born on this side over here. The wages of sin is death. Tell me something. When you came to know sin, and the first time that you sinned, why didn't you die? Think about it. In the Old Testament, the substitute died instead of a human being. Well, I can tell you why. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and we that know Him as our Savior are crucified with Him, we are buried with Him, we are resurrected with Him, and we can say, if we believe this book, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I now live. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That puts a crimp in salvation by works. Know why? Because the individual that quotes that last verse has to know that if they are not claiming the fact that they are crucified to Christ, then they're frustrating the grace of God. But if they say, I am crucified with Christ, and say, I must do thus and thus and thus to have eternal life, they're lying like a dog somewhere. There ain't no way you can have both ways. If you're crucified with Christ, then you're dead. Sin's gone. Paid for. Over with. Done with. I thank you for being here this morning. We're dismissed.